No, I appreciate it. You don't understand why you want to try to keep things moving, but I don't blow anything up on a Sunday morning. I understand. Actually, it's not about, the longer we stay doesn't mark us more spiritual. You gather together on a Sunday morning, there's a corporate sense. You look around, you realize there's people, there's a togetherness, we're celebrating together, we're all in the same race. You look around the room and you realize, man, these are the people in my area that are believing what I'm believing. And there's just a sense of family. So there's a lot of purpose in gathering that way, and we can come up with a lot of reasons for the local body. You guys get that because of the whole food pantry and giving, and just your little testimony about the resources and getting them to you really touched me. I thought, man, this is a lot about church. But the main reason we assemble ourselves together is to stir ourselves up in love and good works. One of the biggest traps of local church is turning inward and trying to have better services, more attractive services to draw people. That's one of the biggest traps of local church. And we don't understand that this is a time where we're trained and equipped and transformed and inspired to leave looking more like Him than when we came. Because see, you only come here, but you live there. You get what I'm saying? And if you're not careful, you'll turn this into a hangout, a hideaway, a safe haven, or a place to escape from the world, and a place you feel safe, and a place you feel loved. And I've heard church projected that way since I've been saved, that people see church that way. And man, that is not what church is about at all. Man, we're a life-giving people. When Pastor Sam, we're all leaders, man, he's dead on. Listen, you're a leader. You have leadership in you the day you get born again, because light's greater than darkness. So, and that's not some weird hypo thing. When light comes into you, you become influential. And it's not just because somebody, is supposed to come out of a wheelchair. And most of us, let's be honest, we're growing in this healing thing. A lot of us will live our whole life. We've lived our whole life. There's older folks and they've never seen a miracle that's dramatic. I've been privileged to see a handful of things. But when I talk about being influential and being a leadership, I'm not even talking about a miracle. I'm talking about influence. I'm talking about your attitudes, your motive, your perspective, your humility, being assigned to people and an encouragement to people and ministering to people.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Just your nature, just who you are, your disposition, your loving kindness, your gentleness, your tenderness. I mean, they aren't weak and wimpy things. Us men think those things are weak. They're extremely powerful and strong.
Yeah.
Extremely. And that's all part of being a leader. Because light is greater than darkness, and the day you get born again, light comes inside of you. And you have the potential to shine. And that's through your attitude, your life, your disposition, your workplace. Your motives and your attitudes in your workplace are huge, man. So some of us need to understand that work a full-time regular job around folks. Your job is one of your major spheres of influence. And you're not pressured to go in there and evangelize. You're privileged to go to work and live Christ.
Yes.
Do you get what I'm saying? Some of us are under this evangelistic pressure where we think we have to reach everybody for the Lord. It's so works-driven. It's so works-oriented. And man, be in love with Jesus when nobody's looking. And when you get around folks, your love relationship with Jesus will have a language, a voice, and an expression.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people will see Him in you. You follow what I'm saying? Listen, the last thing we want to do is just do church. These guys aren't here to just do church.
No.
Now, they care about needs and people and wants. I love that about you guys. And any church I've traveled to that has a heart for their community and the needs of their community and sows and gives and has the food stuff and the clothing and the different things, there is a major grace upon that work because God loves people. So it's not just about getting people to church. It's about loving and ministering to people and meeting their need in that felt need to where they can actually get out of the press to even see clear and get out and breathe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're like, well, you need to serve the Lord. Well, let's help get some pressure off and let's get some weight off and let's just show them God's love.
Yeah.
Amen. So I love that about you guys, and there's going to be always be a great grace upon you as long as you're flowing in that. But here's the deal. We're not here to just do church. You're not just here to be a part of something you enjoy or think it's awesome or it's a fun atmosphere. Wow, the worship's great here. I love going here. The worship's great here. If that's the reason you come, you're going to miss why you're saved. I'm just being honest, man. Okay? Listen, we're born again to shine. In your everyday life, without you having to try to shine, Jesus is the one that turns the light on.
Yeah. Amen.
We were just talking back here. It's possible to get up, get ready, go to church, sing all the worship songs, leave, and go home, and never personally commune with God or make contact with God from your own heart. Happens all the time, actually. We get up, and don't you be condemned tonight and say, oh my God, he's talking to me. You get up and never, good morning, Lord. I so appreciate your love for me. And it might look different to you than it looks to me, but I'm just giving you examples. And you're in the bathroom and you're getting ready, and it's not just about, boy, I hope we get there on time, and oh, I hope she's got the kids ready, or I hope he's, you know, we're not trying to get to church. So then you're dragging the kids and you're frustrated in the car because I thought you were waking the kids up. Well, we're going to be late again. Well, I thought you were waking the kids up. Then you run in and you shuttle them to Sunday school and you go, holy, it's like, no, we're not trying to pull this thing off. Come on. And all of a sudden you teach yourself religion and don't even realize you're doing it. And all of a sudden church attendance is your Christianity. Instead of knowing him. So listen, I just want to exhort you this morning, man. You do have something good going here. I don't speak lightly when I perceive grace like that. And I love you guys. I think you guys were set here on purpose by God. You two are awesome together. I love the way you just stand up here with your honey. And you just look at it. It's so precious. Like he's talking and you just look at him. It's just awesome. I just want to hug you guys like all the time when I'm around you. But I did. I perceived grace on them yesterday, and I felt like God has groomed them and their family for this season you all are in. And man, let's make the most of it. Let's not miss the opportunity in front of us. Let's be sure to not just make it about me and how I feel or me and how I don't feel. Let's understand we're a part of something and we matter. And our participation is important. Come on, man. You understand? And my attitude and my humility and my willingness to yield to him and to be all that he's called me to be is huge concerning the whole thing. And everybody I'm looking at now and in this next service is a major part of what I'm talking about. And you're important. Whether you've been trained and lied to and taught to believe you're not, I'm telling you the Word of God says you are. And you're not just here because you need ministry. You're here because you have potential and destiny. And there's times, you know, people have to walk each other through some things. But man, know you're a vital part, please. So let me get back to this point quick. Intimacy and communion with God. I've been talking about it all weekend. It's huge. You don't want to teach yourself to just go to church, just to play. You know, I'm staying with Gil and his family, and I love that. His wife, she's precious. Oh, my goodness. Where are you? You're somewhere. You're awesome. She's quiet. She's not noticed maybe too much, but I tell you what, God sees her.
Yes, she does.
Man, it's going to make me cry. God sees you, girl. Don't you ever forget that. See, your husband's different. He's so outgoing, you have to see. But you have just as an amazing heart as your honey does. You're an amazing girl. And you held on to your honey when he didn't look so hot. You did your best. Because here you guys are. Where's Gil? Is he even in here? There he is. I love you, man. See, he's a whole different personality. And, but you know, I come out in the morning. I don't know where she is, but I know where he is because he's right there in the living room when I come out. And he's got worship playing. This morning I just came out and I peeked around the corner and he's sitting on the couch. That's what he's doing. I look just like you, man. I watched you. And then I go in and I slip in and I sit down and he looks up and he got a song playing that's speaking to his heart. It means something to where he's come from. And he's staying connected, guys. He's not just getting ready to do church and I gotta get out the signs and I gotta do this pantry. Man, the most vital part of your day is being with him. In fact, I'm not being mean. If you're doing the pantry and all that stuff and not being with him, it's religion.
Yeah.
He looks up. He goes to talk to me. And what's he doing? Caught him doing it a couple times this weekend. That don't make him weak.
Yeah.
It makes him a man of God.
Yes.
And I'm serious. That's when nobody's looking. See, he's not doing that for you. See, it says when you pray, don't just pray where you're seen by men and you'll have your reward in already, full. But when you pray, you sneak away, you slip away, and you find that secret place where it's just your heart and His heart, and nobody knows where you are. And He who's in secret, He'll come and reward you in the open. What are you seeking in the secret?
Him.
Yeah.
What's your reward in the open?
Him.
So we're not doing our prayer duty.
Yeah. Come on,
we're being with Him and He's transforming. This stuff's what's wrong with me. What I'm telling you is why I'm like you see me right now. And I'm doing my best to calm down. This is my best to just communicate. The reason He lets me stay okay is so I can communicate. Because He's that amazing.
That's right.
But it would be tragic if we just serve Him all our life and never get intimate with Him and get to know Him.
Yeah.
It would be tragic if we just could quote Scripture and never have a revelation of His love in our heart. It would be tragic if we just do church and it should grow and happen in place, but when the lights turn out, we have loneliness inside of us. Ooh, that would be tragic. And it doesn't ever have to be with anyone. Because if you seek Him, you will find Him. And if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. But see, you got a challenge in that, because we've been trained to sit and just muse and think and our minds just spinning and what about this? What about... Shh. Come on. You say, well, I don't have time. I'm not talking about making a date with God. I'm talking about communion with God. I'm talking about an everyday awareness, communion with God. And I'm telling you, God wants that with every person on the planet. I tell a story once. It was a single mama with three kids in her van, and they were driving. She said, it's a cool story because the single mother came down here from another state, one even north of you guys, came down. Her children were taken from her by the social services. She heard to go to York. Go to York. Heroin addict, prostitution for years. Social services step in. Enough's enough. Taking your kids. Boom. They're gone. She drives to York. Gets into York. Doesn't know where to go. What am I doing, Lord? She goes to the woman's shelter. It's the only practical thing to do now that she's here. Happens to be a girl from our church runs that place. She goes in. She gets a room. She sets up there. She comes to church. She gets so born again and so changed that social services, for the first time in the history of their state, guys, stuff isn't coincidence. The heart of the King is in the hand of the Lord. That buildings and the land and the, you think things are impossible. When you guys are in His will and you're doing things for the right reasons, not just because you want a bigger place, not just because you want to grow as a church and be a happening place. No, because you want God's will fulfilled and people's lives truly touched and transformed. When your heart's sincere, grace is with you. He can turn the heart of the King. Somebody could say, I don't know why I'm giving you this, but here. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, good, good, good. Do you see? I don't know why I'm doing this, but I hear. And they're like, well, the heart of the King's in heaven. There was a boy facing like a double, like a long sentence. He was 19, a long, and the judge said, it's against my better judgment. That's not a way to get reelected. It's against my better judgment. The judge. But I'm going to release this man into this program and give him a chance. Why? Because God looked into the heart of the man, the boy, and said, there's repentance. He looked at the legal system and he looked at what the ramifications were. And he just went into the heart of the judge, the heart of the King, and he went, and the judge didn't even know what he was saying. He just had a strong impression from the Lord and didn't know it was from the Lord. Jesus is amazing. And he goes, it's against my very judgment, but I'm gonna. And he probably went home and goes, what did I do? It's amazing. I got so many stories going. I'm like, Lord, are we all right?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. So I was in the middle of one. It's a little long. God, you're good. Let's skip a stone. Just forget that story. You say, yeah, I want to finish that story. Just forget that story for a second. If I come back to it, then there will be Jesus. Okay? But go to 2 Timothy with me. I want you to see something here. Yeah, this is good. God's just jerking my heart into an area. Okay. Listen, guys, this is so awesome. You're a part of something. Your life matters. It's not about what you can get from people. It's about how you can lay down your life. We've got to get this as the church. I know I'm sounding emphatic, but listen, we've made it so much about what we can receive from God. And even in our churches, we're set up to disappoint one another, to need one another, to live at the expense of one another, to take advantage of the graces that are around us. We prove that that's the case at large. I'm not talking to you personally. Don't be judged by what I'm saying. I'm talking at large as the body of Christ, because there's a lot of hurt, discontentment, and letdown among the people of God. That means you have self-interest. When you have hurt, let down, failed expectation, that means you put your expectation on men. You're there for what the system, what the environment, what the people can do for you.
Yeah.
No matter if it's a church or whatever, that's your motivation. So you're set up to be failed because you have expectation for what you can receive and get out of something. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
I'm talking bold and emphatic. That is a detriment to your life and the lives around you. Because you're set up to be failed. You're set up to have a bad view of the people you're trusting and putting your trust in. We're not here for that. We're here to lay down our lives and surrender. And as we come together in that humility, become the God-like, Christ-like body of Christ we're intended to be. Where actually everything gets covered with love and mercy, triumphs over judgment, and we learn to bear with one another, even in weaknesses and discrepancies. And all of a sudden, as Christ forgave us, we're forgiving one another.
Yes.
It's not overlooking sin. It's bringing the best out in each other. Because when you love somebody like that, the conviction that comes on them is so strong from the Lord because they realize what they did was unjust, and yet all you had for them was love and mercy, encouragement, and cheer. And it changes people's hearts.
Yeah.
When you just hold them accountable, people say, well, somebody's got to hold them accountable, but not you. Come on, we get so intellectual with this thing and so psychological that we miss the heart of God and the working of Holy Spirit. Man, I promise you we can have peace.
Yeah, yeah.
I promise you we can get along and be a tight-knit people.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we can overcome anything that appears evil with good.
Mm.
And if there's a discrepancy and if there's a little uprising and a riffle in us, see, it happens when things get moving and there's vision and there's excitement and land and God's moving and people are coming. It's amazing how if you track history in those settings, that stuff comes in and ripples and tries to unsettle and disrupt the flow of God's grace in that season.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you're a vital part to make peace. You're a vital part to love and show mercy. If you're sitting in this room today and you feel like you're a part of what God's doing here, then see yourself and reckon yourself as a peacemaker, and you're going to do whatever it takes to see the will of God fulfilled, and you're going to expend yourself and lay down your life and show mercy to one another. You're not here for somebody to fail you. You don't have expectation on people. You're not sitting here watching your pastors to see if they're going to run this thing and stay sincere. No, you're running with them and you're praying for them and you're believing for wisdom in the house. And we're a part of something and we're a family.
Yeah.
You follow me? Because if your heart's not there, 4 months later you say, well, I don't know. They seem to be getting more busy. They don't talk to me like they used to. We're growing too much. I think I need a smaller church. And your whole motive for church attendance is skewed and you're going to get hurt wherever you go. I'm just talking plain. Come on, I'm traveling in. I'm leaving today. I can talk like I'm bleh, and I'll get in my truck and I'll go. All right? But I'm serious. I'm just, bleh, it's in me like this. I didn't have no plans of talking like this. I never make plans. They would never happen. That's why he said about the same service twice. That is a joke with me. I don't know how I would ever do the same service twice. I don't even know what I'm doing now. I'm serious. I don't. But did you hear the heart cry of God in this? Would God be, if God is crying in me like this, and I'm speaking this out spontaneously without any thought or preparation, then He must have some real plans. And He must be crying out to keep them things solid. And He's telling you that you are here in the right time, in the right place, in the right season, for the right reason, and He doesn't want us to miss that, and He wants everyone to know that you're a vital part. That's the heart cry that's in me. You're not just here to be prayed for somebody to show you, to feel comforted, and wow, I just feel so loved when I go there. I go there because I feel so loved. I hear people say that stuff, and it sounds good, and it might work in the beginning, and that's good. I'm glad you feel loved. But know that you're here to grow in that same love that's saving and touching your heart and soul and life in the moment. Because you want to be that same thing for others that are in that moment you were when you came here. You want to be reproduced in everything that blesses you. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or we're just needy people looking for the avenues that make us feel secure and sound, and we'll never be empowered to have an impact because we're just needy people. We're not needy people. There might be a season you feel like you're needy. There might be a season where it's obvious you have some need, but you all have destiny. We all have the potential of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Come on, I've watched people get reduced to living in a vein of identity, a story, a stereotype mentality, to where they reduce themselves in the church to the highest grace they can receive is that you show you care. And that's the only reason they come. And they make a draw on the people's caring for them. And never get alone with God, have intimacy with Him, and let Him enlighten their heart to His love. And they reduce themselves to the highest grace they can receive is to get you to prove that you at least care for them in that moment. That is a way low reduction of your identity, friend. Come on. So back to this thing about this morning, and then I want to show you something in Timothy. It's 2 Timothy 1, chapter 2, just so you can be ready when I finally get there. It won't be that long because I'm going to close right around 10 anyway. We're good. I won't blow nothing up this morning, and it won't be religious. And you know that I stop early. We got to transition. You guys fellowship, you have a little snacky stuff? Oh, I'm not going to interrupt that for you guys. But you guys hearing my heart cry this morning? You have to. I'm saying it with much volume this morning. I'm in a little different heart than you've seen me the rest of the week for some reason. It's just a heart cry. I got Sunday morning folks that this is the church because I'm talking to King's Fire.
Yes.
I'm talking to King's Fire. This weekend I had people from everywhere. Mostly to this morning I'm talking to King's Fire. And I feel like this is what God's saying. Listen, your life matters so much. Your testimony matters. You might not realize this. You might think your life's insignificant. Like, you have a young son. Was that one of your sons, Daniel?
Yes.
Okay. He come through and Gil stopped me and said, hey, you got to meet Daniel. And he said, this guy is awesome. No, Dan, you don't. And he's like, Dan's like, well, thanks. And he said, no, man, you don't understand. He was the kids and he said, and Gil's just testifying of Daniel. And I said, man, that's awesome. It's good to have that testimony, buddy. A good name is to be treasured more than any fine gold or silver. See, sometimes we come into Christianity seeking things and prosperity and breakthroughs and favors and from the Lord and fool vats and fool barns and we're praying for stuff and things. And man, I'll tell you a good name.
Yes.
A good name. Well, your attitude is exemplary and young people see you and they might have never talked to you, but they watch you and they listen in. People are more attentive than you think.
Yes.
Man, I'm in public and I'm doing things or I'll get talking to somebody and it affects people around you and you have no idea. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in an airplane ministering to somebody and I've seen this personally. This isn't an analogy. I've seen this. The person in front of you has a book open and they're on the same page for 10 to 15 minutes because they're not reading. They're listening.
Yeah.
And you go, oh man, they haven't turned the page. And you're ministering and you look, oh my goodness. And they're like, it's so funny. Way more than once, I'm coming out of Jetway and my arm gets pulled on and there's somebody trembling with tears. I couldn't help but to overhear what you were saying in front of me or behind me. I just wonder if you could please pray for me. Like, are you kidding me, man? Come here. Right in the Jetway. Oh, man. Yeah. Your life matters so much. What you give your heart to is extremely important. Waking up in the morning and understanding you're alive for a reason. That life is a gift, not a dread and a challenge.
Yes.
I know circumstances are challenging. I know people can be challenging. And you can't figure out where they're coming from sometimes. But you can't let that dictate your heart.
Yes.
You've got to let the truth dictate your heart. And find this place of relationship to where who you are has nothing to do with how things are going and how people are acting. Who you are has to do with who He is, and He's in you, and you know it.
Yes.
Come on!
Yes.
I'm talking about Christianity. Christianity is not serving a belief. It's living with a transformed life. Christianity is Christ-likeness. So you're a gentleman in the church, you're a man in the church, or you're a woman in the church, and kids are growing up around you, and all of a sudden they see you for something, and they learn and they glean, or they hear how you handle something in the corner, and you don't even know they're listening. Your attitudes matter so much, but if it's contrary and you're just projecting natural wisdom and human wisdom and frustration, and you're just back there in the corner, coming in, meeting way back there, and you're just complaining about your week. Come on. Everybody around you can get affected by that stuff. We don't realize how much our attitudes and perspective matter towards one another.
Yeah.
See, I don't want to teach our kids that going to church is Christianity by not living like Christ all the time. Because if we take our kids to church because it's right to get up and go to church, and yet you don't pursue Christ outside of that setting, you're teaching your kids without realizing it, church attendance is Christianity instead of Christ-likeness. And all of a sudden, it's just Bible stories. And it's just Christian service instead of a life changed and lived before God. You say, well, Dan, that puts me under pressure because I'm not perfect. I feel like I'm going to make a mistake in front of my kids. I'm not talking about making a mistake in front of your kids. I'm talking about you living without pursuing Christ-likeness and it being evident. Where your attitudes, there's no conviction. Where you snap at your spouse and you say something derogatory about your neighbor. And your kids are in the car and you just came from Holy is the Lamb. Come on, is it all right if we talk plain and have a family meeting in the living room? Come on. Because this stuff is detrimental to our lives. We don't realize how it dulls the heart and the conscience and the senses of people, not to mention ourselves. So I'm not talking about perfection, because here's the truth. If you're pursuing Christ-likeness and you do cross the line, if you do get frustrated, if you do snap on one of your kids, you'll know it immediately. As soon as you tone down, you go, oh man, I crossed that thing, man. Ah. So what's humility and what's Jesus do? Man, you slide into their room. And you sit on the bed and tears are in your eyes and you say, hey, honey, listen, what I corrected you about was really right and necessary. And I know you know. And they're like, yeah, because they already know. But listen, the way I responded to you is never my heart. Man, forgive me. Jesus is working something in me and I've been praying about this. And you just saw the weakness that I'm in the midst of. But it's not my desire and it's not what you're going to continue to see in me. But I want you to know. Those feelings, those emotions are not the true expression of my heart. They were the weakness of my flesh that I'm getting a grip on right now. Because I'm telling you, kiddo, I love you. And I don't ever want to correct you for my sake or because you frustrated me. I want to correct you because you're more than what you're giving yourself to. And you have great destiny. And that decision there is going to hinder the value of what you're growing to be. And you start, that's Christ right there. And all of a sudden your child says, man, my parent has integrity. If they touch me wrong, they're willing to admit it and make peace, and they're broken over it. It's not like, look, if I told you once, I told you 100 times. Just get to your room. That's a good way to really hurt things in your home. And you know you're right when you send them to the room because you know they're wrong, but it doesn't make it right because it's not the heart of God. It's just a frustrated parent that's over the edge. And you're teaching your child nothing but that frustration is normal. And you're teaching them, if you do wrong, you're getting nailed. And then we preach a gospel that doesn't say that. But that's how you live. Come on, guys. This stuff is good to talk about on a Sunday morning. This is my Sunday morning stuff, man. And children, you have to be very careful that you don't let anything about that in your family give you a right and a justification for your own flesh. And there's a place at a certain age where you have your own accountability, your own conscience, and you have to learn to separate, even if it's adults in your life, you have to learn to separate the things that are unedifying and unchristlike and say, man, I'm not going to let that be my teacher. Or you're going to have excuses for being wherever you are. You're just going to be mad at your parents. Yeah, they took me to church and then they did this and did that. Okay, so why is your heart so hard? What's that have to do with God loving you? Come on. I sit on airplanes, man, and this stuff is predominant and prevalent in 90% of the people I sit beside. They don't even go to church and they all have their reasons, and it's always because of hurt, pain, letdown, and hypocrisy. And some of it's just excuses, and some of it to them, it really happened and it's valid and they're deceived. But I get to minister truth into that. I can't tell you how many of those folks, probably 80% of them cry in 5 minutes of me talking to them. Because they're called and they realize they're deceived and they're sitting there in a false lie attitude and they're allowing this thing to decide who they are and they're missing out on the greatest thing in life. So they're just sitting being right and it's making them wrong. Come on! And we got something good going here. It's called the kingdom of God and it's at hand. Please be encouraged this morning. Please do yourself the greatest favor of your life. Don't ever just wake up and go into your day. Don't ever go to bed as wow, I made it through the day. Don't make love to your pillow. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, and the only time you said God today is because your pillow's there and you made it through the day and go, oh, God. Because if you just make love to your pillow and thank God that you made it through the day, you'll have a hard time getting up in the morning because you won't want to face what almost destroyed you. Now, we call it depression and give meds for it, but sometimes it's just a perspective change. Now, I'm not being mean to people that have had a chemical lack and things, but sometimes it's the condition of your soul that's creating your emotions. And if you can change the eye, you can change the... Come on! The Bible talks about going to bed and thanking Him for His faithfulness. So you go to bed at night and you're like, God, You're so good. Man, and you might have had four of the biggest challenges in your one day. And God's good because You gave me a perspective and You gave me an answer from the beginning, God, and You taught me what life looks like. God, I so appreciate who You are in my life. Thank You for Your faithfulness. And then you sleep at night and you actually sleep at night because you're in fellowship with God and you wake up in the morning and guess where your thoughts are? Man, I just appreciate another day in You. Life's a gift, God. I would encourage all of you to keep believing life's a gift. You got this one little window called life. It's here today, gone tomorrow. I just turned 53 and I can't comprehend that. People that are 73 know exactly what I'm saying. They can't comprehend that. It's like, where did time go? It's a wisp and a vapor. You got this one little life. It's not, when you're not here to survive, you're here to shine. You're here to leave an impact and mark the hearts of men with the testimony of His love. You're here to leave a legacy. You're here to write history. And that doesn't mean you walk into Walmart and everybody's laying on the floor, fire. That would be awesome. But don't, we're not, if that's not happening, you're not failing, see? We're failing in the sense of fulfilling destiny when we fail to walk in love.
Amen.
You get this one little window, watch this, one little window called life that doesn't even mark the map of eternity. It doesn't even show up as a speck. Your life in the flesh, lived by the Spirit, doesn't even mark the map of eternity. You wouldn't even see the dot. True? But yet it'll speak forever on behalf of the King and bring glory to His name for all time. Mm-hmm. And you will carry the heritage, the history, and the legacy of a life surrendered and a job well done.
Yeah.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not in the sense of a slave servant, because He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master's doing. But well done, good and faithful, right, servant? Enter in. You get it? Watch this. Man, that's awesome. Now that's for real. See, I thought that's got to be for real. You guys have an amazing... And I look back and it is for real. And I said the other night, there's an angel at the... It's better yet. Christ in a woman. Might be better than an angel. Yeah? Look at you. Can you tell he's in her? Look. Isn't that awesome? I'm messing with you so good. He's in her. Can you see that?
Yeah.
How could you not love that right there? That. influence, leadership. You are the light of the world. So let your light so shine before men. Do you know what I see in her face? I'm not trying to embarrass her. She's approachable. You couldn't be afraid of her. She's approachable. Jesus wants her like that. You look at her, you couldn't think anything bad. You couldn't have a judgment. She's just approachable. She looks like you want to hug her. You could be mad at folks and look at her and say, I can't be mad at her. Come on, be real with me. Jesus is amazing. He's all on me just because I'm telling you, he sees what I see. Yeah, that's why I see it. I got to close. And that's not even my cue, but you guys are sharp, man. They give it right at 10 o'clock. Okay, I'm winding down. I get it. Daniel's back here. God. Listen, 2 Timothy, I just want you to see this. Paul writes this amazing thing here about, in chapter 2, about Timothy being strong and imparting to faithful men, right? That'll reproduce. He wants this thing reproduced, man. Who'll be able to teach. Why? He wants the truth multiplied. And he talks about enduring hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, don't let life talk you out of truth. Don't be a product of your circumstances. Let the one that's in you decide who you are always. You're not in this for a fair shake. You're not in this for a smooth ride. You're in this for the integrity of His name, and be sure to endure everything and don't let anything steal the beauty of He is to your life and through your life. Yes. Come on, that's what He's saying. He said no one enlisted in the army of God ever again entangles himself in the affairs of this life. He doesn't just get caught saying, well, you don't know how I feel. Well, it's been a rough ride. Well, it's been a tough season. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Stop. It's not about what you're going through. It's about what He went through. And only seeing yourself through that will you see what you're going through clearly and not be deceived.
Amen.
Or you'll just find the people that understand and feel the same pain, and they'll be your support group and your wisdom. And they'll just say, well, I'm sorry, Don, man. I can't believe you had to go through that, man. Man, I can't imagine how you must feel now. Man, I'll just keep you in prayer, brother. That is like deception. That's not even nothing. You know, here's what love says. Well, Don, listen, man, I hear what you're saying, and I can imagine how you feel, and I know that was tough. I wish it didn't happen to you, man. But I hope you understand that it has nothing to do with your destiny, your calling, your response in the matter, and who you are in Christ. You get that, right? You do know that. And Don might just look and say, man, brother, wow, thanks. No, man, I was slipping in. I was letting that thing mark. Man, yeah. Whoa. All of a sudden, he's ready to fight the good fight of faith. And he's enduring hardship. And he doesn't all of a sudden see it as hardship. It's an opportunity to manifest truth. Come on. Your trials aren't trials. They're an opportunity to manifest truth.
Jesus.
We're not people with a bunch of problems. We're people with an answer. It's called the image of God through us by the Spirit of God. Amen?
Yes.
Come on, man. You say, yeah, but they treated me so wrong. So what's that have to do with anything? Overcome evil with good and treat them right. So you don't even have a problem. But some of us, we're drawing identity from this stuff, and it's our language and our story. It's our little saga. No. Don't let it teach you that's who you are. Who He is in you is who you are. And don't let anything take that from you. Don't let any... Listen, there's no one on the earth that can touch that place in there. No one. Because it came from Him. And it doesn't mean I don't care what people think. No, I do want people to think clear and have a good impression. And I want to get along with folks. I'm not being like, I don't care what people think. No, when you have that attitude, you've long cared. No, I want to have a good name for His name in their eyes. I want to have a reputation for His sake, not my sake. I want to make mine of no reputation, so He shines bright. Did you get it? And this is what Paul understood. And I promise you, I'm closing. So he's going on, consider what I say. He's talking about the farmer and reaping and sowing. And then he goes, therefore, in verse 10, watch this. This one little thing just got to jump out at you. See, everything green in my Bible is love. I've got this green, man. Because, I can just page through and read all the green and just get my little daisy out. He loves me. He loves me. 2 petals left, man. He He loves me. He loves me. Yay! You know what I mean? It's like, I'm not afraid to bluff him, man. Sometimes you need to get like that. Just let go, man. Walk through a field. He loves me. Man. See, if you believe what I'm saying, what people say will never bother you again. In fact, you'll see that they don't understand, and you'll feel, in your heart, you'll feel mercy towards people, and you'll understand Jesus in the midst of being crucified. Not talked about, crucified. Not murmured against, crucified. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're blind, Lord. They don't see. But we understand. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Let love shine bright through me, Father. Let it shine bright and let them see through me. You've made me the light of the world. Remove darkness and let them see. That's what's happening. He didn't say all that, but that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Forgive them, Father. If they had a revelation, I wouldn't be here. If I had a revelation, they wouldn't be sinning. If they had a revelation, they wouldn't be sinning. If they had a revelation, I wouldn't be crucified. God, they don't get it, and that breaks my heart for them. Forgive them, Father. Yeah, but look what they did to you. You healed all their sick, and you helped them people, and you opened prison doors and broke the chains of the bound, and they're going to crucify you? Dude, you need to stand up for your rights, man. That ain't right, man. I just treat you like that. You know who taught you to talk like that and think like that? The spirit of the world, the spirit of this age, homeschooled in the wrong home. False teachers, lies, the wisdom of the world. The way that seems right. Does a good talk show, but it sets nobody free. Therefore, I endure all things. I endure all things. Paul said, therefore, he's talking to Timothy and as an example and a model. He's not just a preacher. See, God didn't just preach to us. He lived a life for us. Come on. God didn't just come and bring His Word. He put flesh on the Word and dwelt among us. And the Word lived the life before us to show us what life looks like. He modeled what we're created for. See, Jesus isn't just our Savior. He's our model for life. He fulfilled what man failed, and He showed us what life looks like in the Father. I had a lady on a plane. She said, well, you would call me New Age. I said, honey, you don't know what I would call you. I said, I'm sorry you've been hurt by people. She said, well, I'm just so mad at you Christians. You always just saying, He's the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to Him but the Father. And twists my arm and try to get me to believe your doctrine. Always using that scripture. Everybody's always using that scripture. There's no other way to God. No other way to God. She was justified in her feelings because Christians strong arm people with that verse and don't even love them. They're just trying to set them straight and get them out of their belief. And they think it's right. And you better care about her. Before you try to preach to her.
Yes.
Not just set her straight, or she'll feel like you're trying to set her straight, and you'll help harden her heart more.
Yeah.
I said, honey, do you even know why the Bible says He's the way? She said, see, you believe it too. You believe it too. I said, honey, listen to me. Don't put me in the group everybody's touched you from. I care about you, and I want you to understand something. Do you know why the Bible says it? She says, no. Because she feels like it's controlling. I said, listen to why God said He's the way, the truth, and life. Because man was made for God's image, and man sinned and walked away from God's Word. But God never left His love fail, and God still sees men for what He created him to be. So you and I have amazing potential. God wants to live in us, and His Spirit through us, and His image full in our hearts. He wants to take away the anger, pain, and frustration by teaching us His way, not another way. I said, but to make that happen, Jesus had to come. God Himself came and put on flesh, modeled a life we were created for, fulfilled everything that man failed, was tempted at all points and never sinned, lived as a holy, pure, and righteous lamb in the sight of God, and then died as a wrongdoer and a sinner. And His innocent shed blood is crying out on behalf of the guilty to set men free if their hearts would change and repent and come back to Him. So we don't just have a Savior, honey. We have a model for life, and now we understand why we're alive, and life's no longer an experiment. And I said, sweetheart, if your theology doesn't have the power to change your life, you've been reduced to another human opinion. And she sat there in that plane, And she cried and cried and cried. Isn't that amazing? Gave her the same spiritual principle from a totally different heart. And Jesus said, now I'm with this. She calls me from time to time to tell me, I'm glad I know you. I watch you on YouTube and I'm honored that I met you on a plane and in my one life got to meet you. It's crazy. I endure what? All things. Why? For the sake of Christ? For the sake of the people. Paul said, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. That's what I'm closing with because I'm late. I'm sorry. Why does Paul endure all things? Did he get spiritual and say for the sake of Christ? He said, no, I endure all things for you so that you see through my life what I'm preaching is real and true because my life matters that much. And I've counted my own life not even dear so I can fulfill His will. Listen, man, you can't afford to cop an attitude. Attitudes are a dime a dozen. Pride is the wretched fall of man. You can't afford to just let yourself live in a flesh-driven state of mind because it affects everybody around you. It puts people in a position where they have to respond. You do injustice to your own family when you sit and cop an attitude. It's selfish and it makes a draw on the flesh. And I'm just exhorting every one of you, you can do it if you want to. It's your privilege, but you're not created for it. And that's why it's so chaotic and that's why it never feels good. So let's all grow beyond that and let's never put our families in a position of compromise. See, parents, when they're not living for Christ, don't understand the pressure they're putting on everybody under their home, under their roof. Children, when they're living in rebellion, they're not even thinking about what they're putting the heart of the people that love them in the midst of. They're not even thinking of what it's creating. They're just thinking for themselves. And it's blindness, and that's why we need to repent, because the kingdom's here. Look, you don't have to be in rebellion and run out and use drugs. You could just have a self-centered attitude right under your roof, and it's the same as if you were running doing drugs. Come on, it's no different, because it creates the same mess. Look, you're either for me or against me. You either gather or you scatter. That's Jesus talking, and it's not too hardcore. It's the truth. There's no middle ground. It's black, it's white. It's light, it's dark. There's nothing in between. You're not so-so, you're not halfway in. You're either in or you're not. We're all growing into Him, we're not perfect, we're growing into Him in truth, but I tell you, we're in. Or we're not. Because when you're in, you're teachable and you can grow. When you're not, you're hanging in the balance and you won't grow and you'll keep repeating the same thing. Are you following me? Don't anybody live on that fence. It's not God's. It's the fence is the devil's. The fence doesn't belong to God. Millions of people and the devil and Jesus come and the people split into groups and a fence shoots up in the middle and everybody disappears. This group with Jesus, this group with the devil, and one man's looking around and he sees them hurting and he jumps up on the fence. And everybody disappears and he's like, oh, that went well. Everybody's gone. And all of a sudden the devil comes back and he's looking. He says, oh, there you are. He says, hey, pal, I didn't choose him and I didn't choose you. I chose the fence. He said, well, the fence is mine, and it all disappeared. Come on, man, don't you do that to your soul. Don't you do that to your conscience. Let's be a part of something here and let the momentum run, man. Let's let God do this thing. What do you say? Are you in?
Yeah.
If you're in, stand to your feet and I'll let you go eat breakfast. Yeah. If you're really in, stand to your feet. Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for the grace in this house. I thank you, God, for the stirring this morning. And I thank you, Lord, that we can take account for our own lives, our own consciousness, and our own hearts and souls. You are with us. And I pray that you introduce us and draw us into the most intimate communion with you that we've ever known. Everybody in this house, God, I pray that their heart would be stirred to talk to you more, to know you more, and to live from a place of God reality, not serving Scripture, but knowing you. Take us from trying to serve Scripture to knowing you. Lord God, I'm asking that grace on this house. Let this house be known and go down in history as a place that knew God, a place that carried God reality, a place where God dwelt among His people. Not just in mysterious moves, not just in mists from the sky, but God, where you looked into the eyes of the people and Jesus was coming out, where love was evident and rampant. I ask that the legacy of this house, God, would be absolutely known as a house where God dwelt, where His nature was revealed, where His love was strong. Father, I thank you that you build it and nothing shakes it. And I thank you, God, that many, 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 many beyond what we can pray would be touched and changed because of this truth. In Jesus' name, I bless this house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, I'm sorry I went a little long.